Thank you, Fran. Good morning, family. Great to be here this morning, and I'm happy to be with you to deliver another message from the book of Nehemiah. As we've been studying through that, we have seen this opposition that Nehemiah has been undergoing, and we see that taking various forms during the work of God's people in the days of Nehemiah and the rebuilding of the wall. We've seen harassment and taunting, insults, and eventually outright violence. And now today we see another tactic in place as the wall has been built and just the gates are left to be hung. We see these overt and covert operations in order to prevent God's work from going forward and his name being lifted up. And now, after employing their schemes on all the people, the enemy becomes personal, attacking Nehemiah in attempts to discredit him. As we know, distractions are a commonplace in our lives today. And we just got done talking in Sunday school today about the greatest commandment, how we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and what that means for us to keep our minds focused on the love of the Lord. So many things call our attention away from what we should be focused on. And a couple of stats here to just kind of give us a reminder, even in our daily time, in our workforce, 84% are distracted at work. And it takes an average of 23 minutes to regain focus, with an average of 60 hours a month being wasted, creating a tremendous economic strain, not to mention the fact that the error rate doubles. Similarly, we see this in drivers and distracted drivers, and our teenagers need to hear this. There's 33,000 deaths per year related to distractions. Phones brought into school account for a significant learning challenge for our teachers related to these distractions as well. And as we know, our kids, when we see them at the table, we have to remove those phones because they aren't going to talk, they're going to push buttons. When we think about distractions spiritually, they're a common tactic from our enemy. And they result in us being ineffective or failing in our work for the Lord. And we remember that Satan is the father of lies, and he's a master of illusion and deceit. So we are to keep our minds fixed on things above, because we've died to our old self, and our life is hidden with Christ in God. And we remember in Colossians 2:8, it says, we are to see to it that no one takes us captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. In order to avoid these spiritual distractions and snares, we need to be on guard and aware to combat our adversary. And the title of our sermon this morning, Discernment and Awareness in Doing Great Work. So our text as we open our Bibles comes in from Nehemiah chapter 6. And as we look to our text, verses 1 through 14, we will see three distractions that the enemy will use: deceit, false accusations, and spiritual manipulation used by the enemy to destroy God's work, and the godly response by Nehemiah in dealing with these distractions as he continues rebuilding. So if you open your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 6, let us read verses 1 through 14. And we see the old friends back again for our enemies. It says, "Now when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arab and the rest of our enemies heard that I had built the wall and that there was no breach left in it, although up to that time I had not set up the doors and the gates, Sanballat and Geshem said to me, saying, 'Come and let us meet together at Hekkaprim in the plain of Ono.' But they intended to do me harm. And I sent messengers to them saying, 'I am doing a great work and I cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and come down to you?' And they sent to me four times in this way, and I answered them in the same manner. In the same way, Sanballat for the fifth time sent his servant to me with an open letter in his hand. In it was written, 'It is reported among the nations, and Geshem also says it, that you and the Jews intend to rebel. That is why you are building the wall. And according to these reports, you wish to become their king. And you have also set up prophets to proclaim concerning you in Jerusalem, there is a king in Judah. And now the king will hear of these reports. So now come and let us take counsel together.' And Nehemiah responds, 'And I sent to him saying, no such things as you say have been done, for you are inventing them out of your own mind. For they all wanted to frighten us, thinking their hands will drop from the work and it will not be done. But now, O God, strengthen my hands.' Now when I went into the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, son of Medabel, who was confined to his home, he said, 'Let us meet together in the house of God within the temple. Let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you. They are coming to kill you by night.' But I said, 'Should such a man as I run away? And what man such as I could go into the temple and live? I will not go in.' And I understood and saw that God had not sent him, but he had pronounced the prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. For this purpose he was hired, that I should be afraid and act in this way and sin, and so they could give me a bad name in order to taunt me. Remember Tobiah and Sanballat, O my God, according to these things that they did, and also the prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets who wanted to make me afraid.'" This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, we come to hear your word, and we ask for your help in taking away all distractions that would keep us from your truth. We pray for your Spirit to minister to us and to keep me from error. Grant us learning, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness by your word. We ask for you to strengthen our hands for your service and to give us discernment and awareness of the enemy as we walk through life. Build our character by your sanctification, so the world may see you in us. Help us to seek you with our whole heart, to seek you in prayer and obedience to your word. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Rock and Redeemer. Amen. As we begin our passage, we remember where God's people have come in rebuilding the wall. And as we are reminded, this has been a spiritual journey as much as it has been physical. The opposition has been great, and we have observed the oppression from within God's people and the strength of Nehemiah to fear God and the work and leading that he has done that's been above reproach, as we saw last week, and remembering his fellow servants. His reverence for God makes us aware of our accountability to him, and it motivates us to avoid these subtle forms of manipulation or deception of others. And we ask ourselves, are we distracted easily, or do we have trouble in completing a task? Spiritual distractions take us away from doing God's work. And we know that in our faith, those that persevere to the end will be saved. As God's children, we will never reach a day this side of heaven when we have done all there is to do. And we see in our text that the walls have been finished, but the gates have not been put up yet. And the enemy see this as an opportunity to be acted upon before the gates were closed. And if we remember those ancient cities, the walls were the most important structure to protect the city and the people within. And these enemies knew once these gates were done, their possibilities to affect the people and their plan to destroy God's influence would be nearly impossible. So if they could not get in, they could not win. So they decided to do this by these forms of distraction. So first they said, come and let us meet together. And this seems on the surface to be an act of diplomacy, that they want to meet and discuss how they can live together, perhaps. Nehemiah, who was alert and discerning, was able to know that after all their prior opposition, he says they intended to do him harm. We would call this the distraction of deceit, that we present something as good, a good opportunity that was meant for harm. It looked like diplomacy, but smelled like danger to Nehemiah. And this was the one time that saying no to church was a good idea in Nehemiah's eyes. God is always at work in the life of a believer, and especially if we're seeking his will and walking in obedience to his word. And Satan will also be at work to tear down the walls of your life. God's word will build up the defenses and help us to continue in the faith. But distractions will try to remove our focus from the one who is the author and perfecter of our faith. And not every opportunity that we get to meet is a divine appointment, and we need to be discerning and learn to say no sometimes. This mentality that we have of not saying no to anything can kill our peace, our talk, our witness, and it can cause us to lose focus on what God has set before us. And we see the persistence of the enemy as this same request is sent over and over. And we often see persistence in wearing us down as we finally submit to silence the other party. Just as a child continually asking for something till they get their way. Nehemiah is aware, and he responds via messenger in this way in verse 3, saying, I am doing a great work, and I cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and come down to you? So he is focused on the mission that God has placed upon him. And this gave him the focus to say no to this distraction of deceit and continue to do God's work. Do we have our eyes and heart fixed on God's plan and purpose for our lives? Are we neglecting to meet together in his word and in our daily walk due to distractions? Nehemiah knew it was meant to stop the work that was nearly complete. And it was great work because it was God's work for the sake of God's name and his glory. If we remember the story of Mary and Martha, found in Luke chapter 10, where it portrays Martha as distracted, disturbed, and agitated while her sister Mary sits at Jesus' feet to learn from him. And Jesus states, Martha is anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Our most important priority is our love and devotion to our Lord and Savior. Are we busy doing things that we fail to take time to be in his presence? Are we doing God's work to be making disciples? Is God's name at stake in our lives? We are to do all work to the glory of God. And if we are doing this, we are doing a great work. God's name, God's work, and God's people. If we care about these things, we are doing great work. Loving and serving one another, bearing one another's burdens, proclaiming God's word makes us great workers. Nehemiah knew he was doing the work of God, and he was bold and dedicated to this task in responding to his distractors in this way repeatedly. He had a clear vision and aim in the task the Lord had given him. If we are doing a great work and get distracted, Satan will attack. What we often think of as an opportunity, God calls distraction. Just because someone wants our attention does not mean they deserve our time. We are not to abandon our call to entertain critics, even when they are persistent. Nehemiah is asking, is this going to build up the kingdom work and further his mission, or is it going to hinder? His response shows that he is aware that the building will stop and it will be a waste of time. Brothers and sisters, let us be aware of our distractions as we go on the path set before us of doing great work for the Lord. The enemy wants to distract us and to make us think other work is more important. Are there things in our life that distract us from doing God's work? The little thing we carry around all the time, TV, sports, other idols in our lives? Let us answer with the same steadfastness of Nehemiah. We are doing great work and we cannot come down. Our significance comes not from the work, but for whom it is done and how we do it. And God's name and glory should be our priority. It is at stake in our lives. And we next see then in our text in verses 5 through 7, this distraction of false accusations. So if this personal deceit doesn't work, subtle manipulation has not worked, now they resort to public accusation. And we see this commonly in the world today. We see others attempt to malign character by false accusation to force the loss of credibility and influence. The rumors that the enemy were putting out offered a story that would be believed as an appearance of truth. And in verses 6 and 7, it says, it is reported among the nations, and Geshem also says it, that you and the Jews intend to rebel. That is why you are building the wall. And according to these reports, you wish to become their king. And you have set up prophets to proclaim concerning you in Jerusalem, there is a king in Judah. And now the king will hear of these reports. So now come and let us take counsel together. So the enemy was acting as if they were trying to protect the king by proclaiming this. Instead, they were doing this out of bitterness, jealousy, and envy for their own gain. Nehemiah did not want to become king, but he had this hope, this messianic hope, for a king from the line of David. He was looking for the reign of the Lord's anointed. And rumors told of a plot to overthrow the king led by Nehemiah. And he also accuses him of placing these prophets to proclaim this, to back up his story, and that other nations are saying the same thing. And this spin of the enemy was to place these false accusations that might sound plausible. Have we ever been falsely accused or misrepresented as Christians? How should we as believers respond to this? And Nehemiah here responds with truth, telling them flat out, this is a lie. He says, "And I sent to him saying, no such things as you say have been done, for you are inventing them out of your own mind. For they all wanted to frighten us, thinking their hands will drop from the work and it will not be done. But now, O God, strengthen my hands." So Nehemiah, he rejects these by plain speech, and as we know, his reputation that preceded him, he was above reproach, and he knew that he was doing God's will. He had earned trust as a result of the hard work and integrity in working with the king as the king sent him to do this very work. His reputation was solid and it stood for itself. And Artaxerxes saw how Nehemiah's belief made him work harder. And he was trustworthy, not taking any extras to avoid any perception of wrongdoing, as we saw last week. He wanted to tell the truth as he knew this word would set him free. And he wanted to reveal the true origin of these rumors, which was out of their own depraved minds. And if we remember, the mind set on the flesh is hostile to God and will not submit to God's law. He also knew that the intent was to fear man more than God and stop his work. When honest work gets distracted, rumors are sure to follow. We are not to shrink back in fear and stop working or use it as an excuse to not continue. The world does not need lazy Christians, as our work ethic reflects our faith. And we need to focus on integrity and to work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. To tell ourselves, "Not my will, but yours be done, Lord." He again then at the end of that passage goes to the Lord in prayer to strengthen his hands, embolden and empower me to remain faithful in what you have called me to do. Help me to remain faithful to the end. Remember that he said this in Nehemiah 2:18 before the building began, "And I told them of the hand of my God who had been upon me for good, and also for the words the king had spoken to me. And they said, let us rise up and build." So they strengthened their hands for the good work. So the people were agreeing and they did this. Now he's asking the Lord to strengthen him the strengthening by the people as an act of worship and thanksgiving, and now Nehemiah is asking God to do the same for him, as he knows the attempts to frighten and discourage the Lord's worker and to stop the working. We should also recognize when we have these false accusations, we do not need to deal with every argument brought against us. So he didn't go out and start arguing with these guys. We should not be taking the bait for the sake of argument or to prove a point. If we have sinned against another and there is truth in the accusations, we must respond. Fear spreads when we stop building and start defending. Those on the side of truth should respond in kind and continue doing God's work. We do not change our agenda or stop talking about God's promises, and Nehemiah continued the work with even greater determination. Persistence in the truth will shine the light on falsehoods and deceit. We need to think carefully, discern, seek wise counsel, and as Nehemiah did, go to God in prayer before we react. We know the enemies of God seek to discount, frighten, and discourage God's people. And we need to seek his will and work for our lives and pray for his strength. Nehemiah, he prayed and he pressed on. And we should not exchange our tools for work for a microphone, so we stop working. Our obedience and our character should be our rebuttal, as it was Nehemiah's. If we have flaws in our character that are in question, we should fix these. Rumors are conducted and spread by haters and believed by those ignorant. We are to stand firm and continue to work. We are not to be part of the spread of those falsehoods, as we then become the oppressor. And as we move on in our text, we finally see the distraction of spiritual manipulation. Now, when I went into the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, son of Metabel, who was confined to his home, he said, "Let us meet together in the house of God within the temple. Let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you. They are coming to kill you by night." This was a prophet known to the people, and he was confined at his home, reporting on a word he had received from God. Nehemiah, he comes to his house, so someone who appears to be a friend and a spiritual one at that. And then he tells Nehemiah that his life is in danger and that he should go to the place of God, the temple, and seek refuge. And we see that this was an intentional diversion, turning to something in time of trouble, which brings a question for us. To what or to whom do we turn in times of trouble or danger? We think about our kids, and a recent study of teenagers shows that the vast majority will turn to anything but their parents: music, substance abuse, other friends. And this peer pressure and acceptance of their friends over parents was cited that the fact that they wanted to blend in with the world. Brothers and sisters, we need to be connecting with our children in the training of them to love the Lord with all their heart and to seek this godly counsel over the world. This will help us to help them in the distractions of life, controlling their exposure to these ungodly values that would fill their minds with lies. That way, when they are challenged for their faith or upbringing, they can stand. In kind, we as believers should seek the Lord and his refuge. Nehemiah questions this prophet friend, asking, should such a man as I run away? And what man such as I could go into the temple and live? I will not go in. So Nehemiah, he knew the word of the Lord, and this manipulation was recognized as sin because he knew God's word that this would be a violation to enter the temple, noted in Levi chapter 10. This prophet told something that was contrary to the word of God, and this would have destroyed Nehemiah's witness and disqualified him as a leader. False prophets can even use scripture out of context to hide their true motives. Brothers and sisters, do we know his word and his will for our lives according to his word? Do responses and advice we hear from others line up with God's word? In Romans 16, 17, and 18, it says, I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. And it says, avoid them, for such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. And by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. Does what we are hearing line up with God's word? Nehemiah recognized this immediately and said, I will not go in. And in 2 Peter 2, verses 1 through 3, it says, but false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will be secretly bringing in destructive heresies, even denying the master who brought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction, and many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed, and in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. So we must remain alert and continue to be trained in sound doctrine. Not every spiritual voice is speaking truth. Those not preaching and teaching the whole counsel of God must be scrutinized. And we need to evaluate every spiritual influence by scripture and mission clarity. Is it in the Word of God? And is it calling me to do what God has called me to do? When fear dresses up like faith, we test it against the word of God. Let me say that again. When fear dresses up like faith, we test it against the word of God. God is with us when we face our fears. It is not about the size of the giant, but the greatness of our God. And we can fear God over man and avoid distractions to continue our mission. Nehemiah then goes on to say in verse 12 that this so-called prophet took money from the enemy to oppose God and his agenda. Just as we saw in the betrayal of Christ by his own disciple, we remember that the love of money is the root of all evil, and we need to guard our heart and not be led astray by the world. And in verse 13, he explains this evil thinking. He says, for this purpose he was hired, that I should be afraid and act in this way and sin. And so they could give me a bad name in order to taunt me. He knew that he was attempting to discredit him by causing him to sin and dishonor his and God's name. This man was hired to intimidate and discredit Nehemiah. The walls are about enforcing God's law for the good of God's people. And if they could discredit Nehemiah, they might stop this from completion and discredit God himself. They knew that God dwelled in the temple and that they needed to remain holy and conduct themselves in obedience to God's law. If they do not act in faith and obedience, they are no different than the world. They needed to stay on mission and keep on doing great work. And we as Christians are to remain above reproach and persevere in our work for the Lord. And in verse 14, Nehemiah again comes to God in prayer and asks for justice to be served. God will reward people according to what they have done. Nehemiah wants mercy for those who repent of sin and trust in God, as we saw in chapter 1, verse 5. And he wants justice for those who oppose God and his purposes. And we saw that in chapter 4, 4 and 5, chapter 5, verse 13, and chapter 6, verse 14 here. And he again leaves this to God and he says, "Remember Tobiah and Sanballat, O my God, according to these things that they did, and also the prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets who wanted to make me afraid." So he lists these people to remember, and I think this was not a term of endearment for these people, for the God to remember them. But this prophetess he lists in here, we don't know anything more about her, but that name, Noadiah, their name means witness or ornament of the Lord. And we can see that sometimes witnesses are false. She was a false witness, and she was placed in this list of his major enemies, along with the other prophets engaged in this fear-mongering. And we must remember that Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. And he is the father of lies who knows the truth well. So remember, he knows the scripture and he knows how to use that against us. And this requires us to be discerning and have sound knowledge of the truth that we might stand for it. It is tempting to fight for ourselves, to give our opponents a piece of our mind, but we know that the Lord can fight better than any one of us. And Nehemiah knew this, and he lets God fight. In Matthew 7, 15 and 16, it says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits." So we need to be aware and discerning of these workers of lawlessness who have the appearance of godliness but lack its power. We don't see the fruit from these false prophets. Nehemiah prays and he keeps on mission to do God's work. And let us remember that the greatness of the work is not this physical aspect, but as we remember in the whole book of Nehemiah, it is part of God's redemptive plan for his people. Not only the people from the tribe of Israel, but from every tribe, tongue, and nation who will call on the name of the Lord's anointed, whom God sent to redeem his people. This great work we are doing is the work of God's kingdom and laboring in the harvest of souls for eternity, that now and not yet of that kingdom to come. It is also in proclaiming his holiness in our lives as we seek to maintain our witness. Let us ask ourselves, what wall has God called us to build? Where are the gaps or open gates? Is it work on our marriage relationship, our family, our integrity, our prayer life that God is calling us to build? And where are our distractions? Do we have the awareness to recognize and ask God to help us in our focus? We need to set clear boundaries in our time management, our friends that we keep, our work, and our leisure to avoid these distractions. And as Nehemiah, we need to cultivate courage in our prayer life and let this strengthen us to stand for Christ and not for the world. And in our recent conference that we just went to, and I shared this Wednesday, the president of Midwestern Theological Seminary said, as we are Christ's sheep, we cannot all be leaders, but we can all be pleaders, praying for our church and for God's people. Are we seeking God in prayer in all that we do? We need to surround ourselves with spiritual truth in our friends, going to church, and learning His Word to grow us in maturity, to avoid the wind of doctrine and deceitful schemes that would stop our church growth and building up in love. And we need to focus on mission. What is God's will, and why am I doing what I am doing? Remembering that we are to proclaim His excellencies to a dying world and model His holiness. If we do this, we will avoid these distractions that take us away from our limited time here on earth to glorify our Lord and Savior. This will allow us to do God's great work while we sojourn on our road to dwell with Him in eternity. Amen. Let us go to Him in prayer. Lord, we thank You for Your word and Your promises that You give to us. We ask for Your help in restoring and rebuilding and renewing our minds, that we would be more aware of distractions and how they prevent us from doing great work. Help us to devote ourselves to Your word, prayer, and will for our lives, that we would remain focused on Jesus Christ and Your glory. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, as we turn our focus to our Lord and Savior in communion, and we come to His table, I want to remind you about what communion symbolizes and who should participate. And we remember that this is for us.